is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
It's time for Super Soul Solutions with Merrily Milmo. Merrily is an avid researcher with over 4 decades of intuitive healing and related experience. Here, she explores many intriguing, unknown, and lesser-known topics on her Super Soul Solutions show. Get ready for the next adventure. Here's Merrily now.
Welcome, everyone. This is Merrily, and I thank you for joining in today for part 3 with Elena Denon, entitled The Primer on Third Density to Fourth and Fifth Density Relationships, Sex, and Intimacy, to help us prepare for our future. I hope you had a chance to listen to part 1 and 2 to discover the first 6 of 18 more expansive relationship, sex, and intimacy concepts that are likely to shift as we transition along out of third density through fourth and into fifth. Many of you loyal subscribers already know Elena, of course, as a multi-talented professional archaeologist, epigraphist, artist, bestseller author, shaman, and multilingual official emissary for the Benevolent Galactic Federation of Worlds. I am an intuitive holistic health practitioner, body worker, QHHT practitioner, laughter yoga instructor, EMT trained, and big picture researcher who will also be sharing about third to fourth and fifth density relationships by synthesizing Lisa Royal Holt's channeling of her higher fourth density Palladian self named Sasha. Sasha elaborates succinctly on the characteristics of third and fourth density reality and how that impacts our views of sex, intimacy, ourselves, and relationships. She feels that both the third and fourth density are inherently different vibrational densities, and to be in integrity with the fourth to fifth density state often requires more spacious and, shall we say, less inhibited approaches and attitudes in our mental and emotional relating to each other. The format will be as the previous shows. As soon as I share the teachings of Sasha as a fourth dimensional Palladian, I invite Elena to share her vast experience and knowledge for each of the next 3 new conceptual shift ideas between third density to fourth density, where we are heading. Please note that I feel Lisa Royal Holt gets full credit for this information that I'm sharing and have synthesized from her audio teachings, articles, and books, such as her first book called The Prism of Lyra and another co-authored book called Future Sex. If you're interested in more information, go to her website, Lisa, L-Y-S-S-A, royal.net. Also, feel free to check out my website, Super Soul Solutions, for another synthesis I did of Lisa's work in a 4-part YouTube series called Earth Game Mastery. It covers the existential wounds that, believe it or not, we humans inherited from 6 key ancestral extraterrestrial species and can help put things in place for you with a deeper understanding as you integrate personal healing now. Part 4 also offers 5 of my favorite quick healing techniques to help transform those wounds, and I hope that will help you. So, for today, we will be focusing on the Palladian human species, since that is the current predominant species of our listeners, I presume. Welcome back, Elena, and thank you so much for joining in. I know you have a very busy schedule, and it is very late where you are, and I appreciate you showing up for the show. Thank you.
Good evening, Merrily. It's always a pleasure to do this with you, really.
Oh, I feel the same. So, folks, this is a reminder that the third density can be oversimplistically summarized as all experiences having to do with the illusionary game of separation, and the fourth density can be simplistically summarized as reintegration. So, Elena, you had asked me questions about Lisa Royal that I didn't know all the details to, especially concerning her specific Palladian origin. And I found that out from Lisa directly. And Sasha says there are at least 200. So remember, folks, it's Sasha is Lisa Royal's future Palladian self that she's communicating with. So Sasha says that there are at least 250 Palladian colonies in the vicinity of the Pleiades. Her system is not visible to us yet because it is in our future. She calls her planet Mandala. It's funny how many planets in the Pleiadian and Lyran system start with man, you know, M-A-N. And I know, Elena, that you had shared with us that that's the name of the human species, man and Mana. So consider a race name important so much, but there are two main lineages on her planet, those that come directly from Lyran lineage that you've all learned is the start of the human race in this universe, and those who are a mix of Lyran with ancient Earth DNA. Sastra comes from the Lyran ancient Earth lineage. She is fourth density, so her people still have bodies, albeit much less dense than ours, and they have begun, according to her, their slow transition to fifth density, almost non-physical, but this will take some time yet. She is several hundred years in our future. So, Elena, do you have anything to add to those details?
Yes, I was very intrigued because, you know, I always want to know what is the race and the culture to be able to answer to the questions. So, yes, so it turns out that she is this it's herself from the future incarnated in a Pleiades star system, which we still don't know which star, but I start to understand. So I understood this, and also that makes sense because 300 years in the future was initiated the Starseed program. So that makes sense that she comes from the future, and then she's a hybrid. Then she's a hybrid between one of the humanoid races from the Man system in the Lyra constellation, and crossbreed with Earthlings. So that's very interesting because there is a species originating from the Man system in Lyra that probably came to Earth. Maybe they had a colony, or maybe they were just geneticists, and they bred with human Earthling DNA and went back to their world and seeded there a hybrid species, which that's how I understand it. It's very, very interesting, very interesting. There are so many Pleiadian colonies, you know, Ahil, Tali, Nor, other ones. So, yes, I never considered the hybrid ones. So
go ahead. I should have given you that hint because she's impassioned with hybrids. So I think her work is involved with hybrids. She's very impassioned by the successful future Essasani breed that the popular Bashar, which is the future self of Daryl Anka online, very positive, very successful future hybridization. Not all of them are successful. So thank you so much for encouraging me to find out more. And that makes a lot of sense. Yes.
Yes, because in the future, this lady will be incarnated into this Earth alien hybrid species. So it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yes, and she kind of looks like it. I have a picture on my YouTube, but you can see the slight mix of that. Mm. Also, go ahead.
No, she's not hybrid now yet. She's human.
Okay.
She's in a human body.
Okay, she has a
She will be incarnated in a hybrid. Or maybe she's hybrid already from another race. Triangular, that's more Syrian. Yeah. Oh my God, there's so many hybridization going on. I mean, it's impossible to really know.
Yes, it's the most, I think, popular thing to do in the universe is create hybridization. So to create the strongest avatars and vehicles, right? Especially for Starseed to come into.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Elaine, for that clarity. And I had no idea that the starseed incarnating in now for this period of liberation was established 300 years in the future, but it makes total sense because I've always known I'm from the future mostly. So that was such a fascinating fact you just shared. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. It's all down to the Andromedan Council who just spotted the problem on Earth 300 years in the future. So that's how all of this started.
Yes, yes. We thank them for that. So let's get on with it, and let's get to Sasha's seventh principle of the third density and fourth density shifts for relationships, sex, and intimacy. So the seventh one is she calls manipulation. So this is another characteristic she feels is found or inherent in third density relationships, which can be both covert and overt. And she feels that usually this deep-seated behavior is done so a person will get their needs fulfilled or will feel protected from their fears. And you and I and our listeners know, and those that have been doing a lot of work on themselves, that of course the best way to move through this is to be self-reflective enough that we are aware of our own fears and take responsibility for them. So we're moving out of that level of manipulating in relationships, so that in fourth density, she says there is not as much concern with manipulation because you are evolving in higher consciousness and therefore a deeper understanding of yourself and love. The fourth and fifth density premise shifts to one of allowing. So it kind of can look like this, like manipulation can be, if we're honest with ourselves, I occasionally use obvious or hidden manipulation so that my needs will be met and so that I can remain protected from my own fears. I only see my partner as who I need them to be, not who they really are. Whereas allowing this, the fourth density would be, I allow my partner to be who they need to be. Only then can I see who they truly are. What do you feel about this?
Yeah, it's still, again, different from what I know from other alien races, because I do not know this culture, in fact, this hybrid culture. So I don't know. I couldn't comment on that, but I can compare to what I know of other humanoid races in the Pleiades, possibly.
Yeah.
Regarding to fourth density, I don't know, but in fifth density, I know some people, and there cannot be love, real love, if you do not consider the person for who they are, because it's a question of soul to soul connection, you know. So you need to really see the other for who they truly are. Otherwise, you know, they're also they can have just sex for fun. So then you don't need just the soul connection when it's just sex for pleasure, you know. So it depends if it's just for pleasure or just to share love, you know, what I think. Mm-hmm. And it's like this on any level, because love is connection from soul to soul, which we don't always do in third density. Honestly, it's very rare. It's extremely rare.
Yes, it is. And she gets into that in this. We'll talk about that in the show. Yes, I totally agree. It's rare. Yeah. So thank you, Elena. The eighth principle that she sees as a shift, at least in her society, from third density to fourth and fifth, is that the third density concept, like we said, is the need to control more. And the fourth density shift is having more absolute trust. So we could say, again, these are oversimplified and generalized, but we could say it is third density is with the need to control is an inherent mistrust in reality. The knowingness that everything is kind of happening the way it needs to be or for your greater good is inherent trust. And we don't always have that inherent trust in ourselves or life. So we try sometimes to force or mold the relationship to so that we feel more comfortable. So the need to control would be the third density, which she kind of would synopsize as to say something like, I do not trust that everything that occurs is for my highest good. Therefore, I need to control and shape the relationship so it will take the form I want it to be. And there is also some kind of feelings in an undercurrent of ownership of partner, my man, my woman, that kind of thing. And she said, as you move into fourth, the absolute trust, or moving towards absolute trust, is that I trust everything that occurs is ultimately for my highest learning and good. Therefore, I have no desire or need to control my partner. Now, of course, we're talking about one who's not extremely abusive or something like that, right? So this is just in general. So the fourth density concept is based on integration and reintegration. And I think that many relationships that were status quo, like in the third, will not be as sustainable as we're shifting to the fourth. So with absolute trust, it seems we have a greater capacity to open and allow, and allowing the other person to be who they need to be. And actually, it's kind of a reflection of ourselves. You know, the other's always a reflection of ourselves, and trying to manipulate them means you only see who you want them to be, not who they truly are. So go ahead and comment on anything that strikes you around that with what you know.
Yes, for me, it's very, I totally agree with everything. And it's totally obvious to me that when you are in the third density state of mind, you're more inclined to, you feel disconnected. You feel this nostalgia and this disconnection from the source, from a lot of things. And you're just craving for love, craving to feel that love. And so you will want love for yourself, and you will be drawn to not understanding, not remembering, to take and love, fall in love with people who will feed your expectations, not fall in love for who they are, to freely share love. You will always want the partner to fulfill your needs, and, you know, but sometimes it doesn't work because you realize that the person is not really the person you imagine they were, because in the first place, you didn't try to see who this person was. You know, once I that has nothing to do with ETs, but I watched a short video of it. It was a Jewish priest, and he was saying, talking about love, and he was saying, love, there are two different kind of love. It's when you say, I love fish. Don't love fish. You love eating fish. You love harming him to eat it. If you truly love fish, you leave the fish alone in the river.
Good point.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that was amazing. That really, really enlightened my you know, and that's it. Do you love something because it feeds any needs you have? Or do you love something because you just love and want to nurture and want the best for this person, you know? That's where it lies, I think.
That is so beautiful, yes, because most of it is, you know, to fulfill our temporary gratification, you know, or, you know, all of that stuff, you know, for our own needs, like, just like you said. So that's a beautiful story to remember that. I'm going to remember that when I act out. So the ninth relationship premise in the third density, where we have a tendency to find our needs and security outside ourselves because we live in the, quote, you know, real illusion, right, of separation. But we tend to create things that remind us that we are still connected. It's this clever way of still being connected to the soul. So we humans tend to use enmeshment, she said, in third density to remind ourselves that we are still connected, yet we interpret the idea of connectedness in a way that is often detrimental to us rather than supportive. She said that enmeshment is the third density version of the recognition of connectedness and fourth density. And that one is never separate from the other person ultimately, even though it feels like it, of course, in third. And this requires, of course, as you enumerate multiple times, Elena, this requires that we heal the fear that we can maybe no longer be with a particular person. We heal fear of loneliness. We work on all of that. And that allows us to start to feel the sense of connectedness that replaces the 3D enmeshment idea. So that way, we no longer need to create fear through an enmeshment. And what will result is that we will create connectedness through our expression in all our relationships. So she sees, and she understands the veil of separation. But now that we're beginning to move into the fourth, she said the major difference, the relationship takes precedence to our own personal growth. Like all our attention goes outward, what we can acquire, what we can get, or whatever. In fourth to fifth, personal growth and self-love takes precedence. And through that understanding, then all relationships evolve, and these are my words, as a mirror of our own ability to love ourselves. What would you say about that?
Wow, that is very profound. Yes, I'm just thinking about it. Yes, it's true that as you evolve in consciousness, you are less and less service to self. And, you know, it's even the expression change. Well, I don't know if in all the cultures, but in some cultures I know, they say sharing love, not making love, you know. So that's the difference, sharing, not making and taking anymore, just sharing. And you not being to service to self anymore as you open your consciousness and you move throughout densities, I believe it works the same as the physical act of love. You know what I mean? You know, not any more service to self, the service to not only to love, you know?
You went out
service
on that last sentence. Do you want to repeat it?
Oh, yes. Okay. You're no longer service to yourself, and you not even service to the other only, which is a negation of your own desires and your own needs as well. It becomes service to the act of love, that the both benefit of it, service to the energy of love.
It's like the personal growth and self-love and acceptance allows our own beauty to emerge. And we don't have to own and acquire and grasp out of fear and out of our own emptiness, because we ourselves become so full with allowing grace to resonate within us that that is what we emanate, and therefore that's what we project, and therefore the universe mirrors back what our frequency is. You know, don't you?
Yes,
don't
totally.
You
totally,
that?
Totally agree with you. Yes, I totally agree with you.
Well, okay. So those are the three new ones that we are going to be discussing today. And let's see, where do I want to go from here? Just kind of a reminder for people. And what I would like to do is read directly, like I did in the last show, a couple of minutes of different comments of a gentleman asking Sasha directly very provocative questions, direct questions on sex, intimacy, and relationships in her fourth density on her planet Mandala. So if I can, I will read a little bit, and then I'll ask you to comment, Elena, okay? So you can sit back and relax. Okay. So Sasha was asked, "You spoke of a spiritual aspect to sex. Can't sex be just physical?" Now, you and I both know it can be, but she answers, "It is not for us really. And so then he asked her, can't sexual intercourse occur just for fun? And she answers back, of course, why not? But fun is also spiritual, right? So
yes.
So what she says, quote, is, our sexual acts are like the pool scene in the old Cocoon movie. I don't know how many of you saw that, but it's
yes.
like electric. It's just like, you know, summarizes the whole thing. Electricity is going back and forth, and the people are like still like 15 feet apart from each other. So she said, whole body energetics that is fulfilling beyond expression, a moment of integration of two polarities that is true ecstasy, true joy, a symbolic remerging with the opposite self, so to speak. For you on earth, there is a moment often of climax where you phase out, a moment of true integration. In your time, the moment would be a split second, and many of you may not even notice it. The next time you orgasm, see if you perceive the moment of phase out. The only difference between you and us is that when we come back from that moment, retain the memory of the oneness. It is truly a gift and extraordinary. On a psychic level, we feel a communion, not only with the person we are with, but the source of all and all that is. When you engage in sex on earth, your auras, the electromagnetic fields around your bodies, expand out. Generally, how far they expand depends on your willingness to be vulnerable with your partner and to experience love. Many individuals on your planet that approach sex in an animalistic way do not expand their auras. We do not judge that. We are just stating a fact. We feel an intense expression of our auric field during the sexual act. The spiritual orgasm that we encounter at that distance when our auras are expanded out is very clear and profound, and it overshadows the physical one. The physical orgasm is synchronized with the spiritual orgasm and becomes one for us. Simultaneous orgasm is generally what happens, but it doesn't have to. In our society, sex is not an act existing outside of life. It's part of life, and we will not engage in sex for the sex alone, particularly. We engage in it for the sake of intimacy and the bonding that occurs from one being to another, and even more than two people at the same time. It's all about giving and sharing, whether it is with one partner or several. Magic is the spark created from the friction between polarities that ignites transformation.
Wow, that is so amazing. This is exactly, yes. Well, I think the person who said these words really experienced it. So that, you know, these, to tell about these things in such details and such expressions, describing it like this, you cannot make it up unless you've experienced it. And you cannot experience it in the third density. You need to be in a higher density, because this incarnation in 3D limits it. So that's when, you know, you have glimpses of, you know, confirmations that she's really who she says she is. She's really an alien hybrid who dictates all of this to a human woman, because this is exactly what he's experienced. Yeah. It is exactly what you experience in the moment of the what I'm talking about, fifth density. In the moment of the climax, you get out of the space-time continuum. You really experience an expansion of consciousness, and you're totally boundless your consciousness just goes to the extension of the universe, limitless and timeless. And time doesn't exist. You go in a place, it's like the void. No time, no space. And it can last a very long time. But in your, it will have last maybe a second. But effectively, you will get the memory of this experience. It's quite striking.
You are saying the exact words that I was going to share. So you both have had a lot more fun than we have had, evidently. Some of us have had. I'll just speak for myself. Thank you, hon. So let's see. Sasha was asked by this gentleman, what about sexual diseases? And Sasha responded, we don't have diseases, no. Period. Therefore, we do not have sexually transmitted diseases. Our immune system that we once had has really not been in much use in the last few thousand years. So when asked, how long do your sexual encounters last? You can tell a man's asking these questions. Sasha responded, you ask this question because you measure your lives by time. Exactly what you were saying, Elena, that is something we do not experience. Time does not rule our lives. We create time for our own experience. Often in your world,
yes,
the moment that is the most important focus to you is climaxing the last 2 minutes. That can add to the perception that taking all the time to be play, staring in each other's eyes, touching each other, can be a waste of time or take too long or take too much energy. She said, we are not bound by time. Time changes for us during the sexual experience. To translate our time into your framework, she had to think about this. She said, I would say typically our encounters would last 1 hour of your time several times a day.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
Yes, no, I totally agree. Totally agree.
You know that line in Harry Met Sally, I want what you have? Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, yeah, yes, yes, I remember this movie. It was very funny. Very funny.
She was faking an orgasm in the restaurant, right? And the lady next door goes, I'll order what she has.
That was funny.
So Sasha was asked, have you ever been part of a mated group? And Sasha responded, yes, in the past. Not now. I have one mate at this time. It became apparent through changes in my lifestyle. Experience a single mate now. He didn't require me to do this. It is just how it evolved. And you have mentioned this, Elena, that usually with the Pleiadians, you know, everyone has fun, lots of sex, and great and intimate and whatever, and then they usually settle down a little later with one person, correct?
Yes, yes, yes. That's what they do. Well, that depends on the culture and the race as well. I know two races. It's the Tal and the Ahil. The Tal would be more like us, maybe not finalizing with one in particular, but that culturally they kind of are drawn to finalize with one partner for life, but they will have a lot of fun. The Ahil
Absolutely.
Always finalize. Oh yeah, the Ahil always finalize with one because they look for the soulmate. They are very much more spiritual in the love sharing, but they will have a lot of fun. With the Ahil, when it comes to love and love sharing, everything on every level it's multiplied. It's it's over the top for everything. It's like not a religion,
sensual.
But it's
very
like
yeah.
oh my god, it's really part of their culture, even we spoke about that before, so yes, they will have a lot of fun without measure, and then in any way possible, and then they will settle with the, they will bond with the chosen one, and that will be forever until they disembody. Yes.
Fascinating. Thank you for sharing that again. Okay, we'll take a few more questions from the book and then move on. So one more question was, did sex change for you, Sasha, after you were used to doing group sex in a way with a family living in your domed home? And by the way, she had mentioned, I think, four of them were Palladians and one was a Zeta. And he was joking. He goes,
a what?
Does Zeta get it? It was like a Zeta hybrid. Yeah, Nesasani and or something. And
okay,
there was a big joke. Like, did the Zeta get it? And they were going, no.
Yeah,
of,
because
you know, like,
yeah, that's
you
weird.
Know, but anyway, that's a little,
oh my god,
that's going to be a whole
yeah.
that's a whole different story, and I don't want to go off to the side there because there is. A few positive, hybridizations, but most not. But anyway, okay, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't be do that.
Yeah, yeah. So Sasha responded, it's been a tendency of many of my race and Palladians in general to look only at the positive and avoid the negative. When we mate with someone, permission is given to open all aspects of the self, positive and negative, to that mate. As we become more vulnerable, the intimacy increases proportionally, and we make sure to express that which at first might appear to be negative or full feeling, and then it is transmuted quickly in that process. And then he asked again, if you are on a space mission, which she is, and you can't participate sexually with your partner for a given period of time, what happens? She said, well, there's no tension buildup. There's no physical need for release. We do allow ourselves, if we're on mission and we have a mate, to project astrally. There are certain aspects of our sexuality that can be transferred through the astral body or the electromagnetic body that is non-physical.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree that the Ahil do that. The Ahil do that. Adutal, I don't know. But yeah, some races in the Pleiades do that. Yes, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk about room service. I'd like to order one astral travel. Never mind. We won't go there. Okay. Last question.
I just love it.
Last question. What about preferences of heterosexuality and homosexuality? How do you view that, Sasha? And she says, our relationships are very fluid. We are very much community-oriented, and we form relationship units regardless of the number or the sexes. If members of the same sex want to participate in sexual relations with each other, society about homosexuality, from our point of view, love is between two beings. Whatever those two beings are doesn't matter. Primarily, the relationships, however, are heterosexual due to the energetic polarities, but we do not discount any other. What do you think of that?
You mean other species to do with?
No, does not discount any other, shall we say, sexual preferences. If two of the same sex want to have sex, they don't judge that.
Oh, yes, when they're having fun, yes. Oh, they don't mind, yes, absolutely. When it's only for the pleasure, they look for whatever will give them pleasure. Yeah, totally, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for
okay.
That's the problem. You know, I it's difficult for me to take position regarding to what she said because I still don't know which Lyran race she is. So hybridized, you know. So they all have different soul structures and way of making love, you know. So I can speak for
the
Ahil,
point,
but I don't know if it corresponds to her culture, you know, because I don't know if she's hybridized with Ahil. So that's
yes,
the only, that's what I know.
Exactly. Well, the purpose of this is not that, the purpose of this is to kind of enhance the concept that there are many, many, many cultures and species. I mean, races and cultures within a species, and especially when you add hybridization to that, and there can be many similarities and a few differences. So, you know, I totally understand what is beautiful is that you're sharing your experience from personal experiences and from being part of that. And this just provides another little offshoot for people just as a way, you know, around a very intimate subject. So no worries that
yes.
you don't have all the answers because you don't know all the things, okay?
I know
that scientist part of your mind. You're like, I want to know it all.
I know. I know that. That won't leave me.
Well, I totally understand, which is why I do so much research, because it's like, oh, got to put the whole puzzle together. So thank you so much for answering all those. And now I would like to address what I consider a very important question. And Elena addressed this online, and it caused some confusion, I believe, because as our listeners know, we use certain words. And Elena had mentioned the word squids and hydra.
Oh.
Right? That so I want to back up a little bit. So some members in your family, I'm talking to the listeners, or in your partnership, may decide that they like to take the juice and others do not. Now, unfortunately, the military has had no choice and they were all required to drink the same juice. So when Elena mentioned the word squids and hydra, what I did is I started researching and I found something which you all will need to look up if you want to really see what's going on, found something called the Hydra vulgaris, V-U-L-G-A-R-I-S, which is called immortal because it appears never to die. You can put it in a blender, cut it into pieces, and it will regenerate. Now, I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. You will have to watch what I will recommend you might want to watch. But I will say that H. vulgaris is often used, like many hydra, as a model organism for more phylactic regeneration because they are easy to care for, require minimal direct care, and reproduce quickly. It is reported that they do not undergo senescence, which means aging, making them biologically immortal. Now, so they have regenerate stem cells even if, even if they're cut up, they will resemble themselves a little bit miniaturized. My alma mater, UC Davis in California, is looking into working with the Hydra with the NIH and thought it was wonderful to use in the evolvement of humanity, which we all might find interesting. And they even made a playing card with a picture of the Hydra on it. And the bottom of that card says, quote, "Hail Hydra," end quote. So I will let you all pay attention to that. And Dr. Carrie Madje, M-A-D-E-J, on BitChute, was a scientist, along with a few other scientists, that looked at this under 400 times magnification personally, and she started crying with what she saw. So with that is all we're going to say here. With that, Elena, for people and for those of us that have partners in the military or anything like that, can you explain any detail about the safety of transmitting this hydra to your partner that does not like the juice or didn't take the juice? For instance, how safe is kissing, sexual intercourse, things like that?
Yeah, so I actually asked Thorhan, we were talking about different subjects, and he quickly said to me that It's not transmissible via saliva, that you, so you can kiss, but it can be transmissible via blood or, you know, sperm. So you need to, a little bit like AIDS, except that saliva is safe, except maybe if both have scars in their mouth and unfortunately blood goes, but that would be exceptional, you know, but so that wouldn't happen. Knowing this, I know Soren is not very inclined to talk about these things, but he's just said this, and knowing this, I surely would recommend that you can kiss away, no problem. But for intimacy, be protected. Just be protected. Yeah. That's what I recommend.
Well, all I have to say is if anyone finds condoms that are nanite proof, call me.
Actually, there's a market. There's a market.
There's a huge market. We got a big future market happening here. Okay. And do you want to just go over really briefly so that people, because this could put people in alarm. And, of course, many people have gum disease, so you have bleeding right there. And so, you know, what I know you've mentioned this, but just really briefly, of how these Hydra, these squid light beings, are being taken care of by frequencies. You want to let them know that again, please?
Yes. So that's very important. When I heard this thing that I'm going to tell about, the person who told me she's High Commander Ardana, she's an extraterrestrial. She was concerned. She was hesitant that I should tell people or not. I said to her, "Come on, that's important." And she said, "No, if you're going to say that to them, please, it's really important. Tell them that it's not a reason to take the juice. Just don't get it anyway." But if you already have it, you had no choice, or you were just, you know, influenced to have it, and you now you're aware, but it's fine, because in fact these little hydras, they are taken care of. I mean, there are extraterrestrials who have started broadcasting high frequencies coupled with electromagnetic radiation, I suppose, onto Earth in a very, very specific plan, not constantly. It's by areas, and it follows the dynamics, natural dynamics of the electromagnetic field of the Earth. And this is killing them. It kills them. So it's not a reason to think it's safe to take the juice, because there are other with your DNA, it's not cool what it does to the DNA, etc. But regarding to the hydras, high frequency coupled with a certain electromagnetic field kills them. But now this thing can be very harmful. So that's why they don't tell us exactly the frequencies and everything, because if you do it, if you, for instance, create a machine that broadcasts this, you can kill people. It's a life killer. And it's very specifically attuned to kill only these little things. So they don't want, you know, they rather do it themselves. They have the technology, they have the knowledge to do that.
Which is so great. And there's just a couple things to add to that. That's really important, is the fact that it will probably take 2 years, because why don't you tell them about that? Because it has to be done slowly so that people don't get tons of symptoms from these frequencies combined with the Schumann resonance. Right?
Yes, yes, yes. They respect totally the Schumann resonance, you know, and they do that in a very, very elaborated way. So we need to trust that.
So if you have a partner, you're going to have to get really creative. You have a partner.
Oh my God, Marilee, I love the shows with you.
So if you have a partner that really likes you, or if you have an option of juice, if a juiceaholic, you might have to use a sleep medication to keep him or her asleep for 2 years. Until these things go dormant, you know. Well, they're going to not be disassembled, but they're going to be neutralized. But it is going to be a 2-year process, probably, to clean them all out, right?
Yes, yes. It's going to take time. 2 years is about what it will take. So it's not a reason. I repeat it as I have been asked to repeat it and make a point. That's not an excuse to take it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Now, well, no one would. It's just, you know, working it out. And also the fact that Elena has shared that the other issue with the juice was, has been handled with the nanite AI being taken out also. So this is quite a cocktail. Quite a cocktail.
Yes.
That we're dealing with.
Yes.
And I don't want people to be depressed by this. We'd be very creative.
No.
2 years will go. 2 years will go really fast. You'll get really good at kissing. use chapstick. That's another thing you can go into new business for. Chapstick. Okay. And of course, Elena, you always recommend that the thing to do right is don't worry, be patient, and keep the power of love at the high vibration, because that's stronger than anything, right?
Yes.
And I also want to let
high vibration.
Yeah, I want to let people know that James Gilliland, he made also follow to his ranch like 20 years ago and had a great time with him. He's the real deal. He briefly mentioned in his last YouTube together with you that he is has an idea of how to undo any possible disconnect of the soul from this. And so I have contacted him, and I want to do a show on that. So I'm waiting to hear back from him if he's ready to provide that information publicly. So stay tuned with that. And the other thing that I learned from super soldiers many, many, many years ago, and they just basically said everyone needs to take this. So I'm not recommending this, but I do take it because it's illegal for me to recommend anything. But the super soldiers definitely said to take zeolite. And my favorite brand is called Touchstone Essentials. It comes in natural nanonized zeolite spray and pure body natural liquid zeolite. There are two different ways to take it. The super soldiers take it two times a day, but it's so easy. I'm into easy. We're all having to do so many supplements. I like line them up, and each one can take no longer than 5 seconds. Sorry, I won't do it. This is like you just can spray under your tongue. It's really easy. Suggest getting 3 months worth at a time, and keep doing that. Just make that a regular thing. Do you take it also, Elena?
Yes, I take it. Yes, I started to take zeolite a few months ago. It decalcifies also the pineal gland, and it really flushes all the heavy metals from your body. The thing is, I take it in powder and with a lot of water. I take 2 pints of water with it, and it flushes everything and decalcifies pineal gland. So it's very good, very good.
Yes, I found a powder too, but I was also taking charcoal, a really unique brand of charcoal. So I don't know, you know, it's just whatever works, right, for us.
Yes,
yes. So that people can hear and have. But you guys, I know money's a factor, but when you order, you'll want to get like 3 months at a time. It's cheaper, and, you know, some of these things are going to be out as people become more and more aware. So anyway, so keep your vibrations up. Get really good at kissing. don't eat squid or calamari. That's
sorry for that.
With Elena. Elena.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. because that means you don't love squid.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Elena, oh my God, I'm losing it. Okay, Elena, can you tell people, even though most people know, we leave you alone for 5 seconds, and you've already created new, really cool Galactic Federation of Worlds shirts and jackets, right? And did you get into trouble to do that?
Yes, listen, I ordered on Amazon a Star Trek Discovery jacket to do my Q&A live, and everybody was, oh my God, I want one. I say, well, it's a Star Trek thing. And then people ask me, oh, do different uniforms and stuff. So I was hesitant, and then I have a Teespring shop online, and I create 2 models of uniform jackets who resemble those of the Federation. So it's good fun. Yeah, I called it the Nerd Collection.
Oh, yes. That's cute. Starfleet Connection. Well, that's so much fun, you know? It is.
Right.
I bought so many things from you. It's great. So tell people where they can go for that and your website. And, of course, most of you know she has 2 amazing best-selling books, tons of other books that are very creative, art, shamanic journeys you can buy for meditations at home. So you fill them in on the rest, Elena.
Oh, thank you very much, Marie. I have a website, elenadanan.org, O-R-G, and on this website you will find everything, my workshops and services, my merchandise, and my books as well. So you can go there and everything is there.
Yay! That's good. I'm going to go explore your jacket. Do you have extra large? I got broad shoulders.
Yes, yes.
I know that's TMI. Okay.
Oh, yes. I see you coming with the Be Creative with your partner. Yes, wearing this jacket. That can be fun.
All right. So this is great fun, sweetie. And you take care and have a lovely evening and sweet dreams. And we will be back for part 4 and to learn the next 3 transition concepts of relationship, sex, and intimacy from 3rd density to 4th and 5th density. And if anyone wants to have a specific question that they would like answered by Elena, you can email me at Marilee at Super Soul Solutions. And also if you want to do a Q&A with me, you can find that on my website, supersoulsolutions.com, and go to Super Soul Q&A, because I have a wealth of information also. And thank you, Elena, for being so willing to always share your knowledge of Palladians as the sensual goddess of the universe. And I had to say universe, since you originated from another galaxy. So I couldn't say the sensual goddess of the galaxy. I'm just saying. And I'm happy you are giving yourself a 2-week reprieve to process deeply.
Oh, yeah.
So if anyone bugs Elena or asks her a question in the next 2 weeks, I'm coming after you. So that's all I have to say. And believe me, I'll find you. I hunt people down. So much for love. Okay, guys. Thanks for putting up with us. And until then, friends, onward and upward. Bye-bye for now. Bye, Elena.
Oh, my God.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.